The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, Random Reptoid, or Chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us. Share your story, share your experience. Because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken. Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken, and thank you very much for joining me tonight. Folks, it's Friday, finally. I'm so happy about that. I hope that everyone's going to have a good week. And before we get to our guest tonight, I do want to bring in Adam real fast. And I just wanted to say, hi, Adam. How are you today?
Hello, Greg. I am quite good, especially since after last night, I was able to get a ride out of the haunted radio station after the show last night, because that one gave me the willies. A lot of willies.
Yeah. No, that was scary. And I can't promise tonight won't be scary either. So, I mean, I hope that you have like your favorite stuffed animal or something with you tonight.
I do. I brought my grumpy bear.
A little pear bear or something like that. Now, you said that you're going to go out tonight for dinner. Where did you go?
Well, ended up taking a nap because I worked a full-time job, came home, ended up taking a nap. So the wife and I, after this is over, we're going to go old school. We're going to go find a Denny's. And finding a Denny's in the metro isn't that easy. We might have to end up
not
in
anymore,
Wisconsin.
No. You got to come up to my area, Rogers, and there's a Denny's there. It's one of those old 50s style Denny's. And it's, you know, for what it is, it's not bad. I did the normal Friday, Chicken Wing Friday, which is, you know, every Friday for the past like 20 years, I grill chicken wings. And that's my kind of escapism, I guess. I don't know what it is, but I do it. And damn it, it was good. That's all I know, Adam. It was good.
Well, I've seen your food posts before. And yeah, your stuff actually always looks pretty darn good, especially the mix you were making around 4th of July. That looked insanely good.
The chimichurri is really where it's at. So yeah, we did, before we get to Sam here real fast, just real quickly, we did a chimichurri and put it onto a ribeye steak. It was fantastic. So, you know, if you want to follow me to see the edible food I make, then definitely go check it out. I love to post food pictures. I know it annoys a lot of people, but I actually really enjoy it because it I don't have kids, so I'll either post pictures of my cat or food, one of the two. So now, Adam, as I said, I can't guarantee that tonight won't be as scary as last night, but you know, we're gonna have a good conversation regardless, you know, because we're still talking about spirits, we're still talking about scary situations. And when you have a book that's called Fueled by Fear, there's going to be something about that just got to kind of keep track of here. So Sam Beltrusis is author of Ghost of Salem and featured in The Curse of Lizzie Borden Shock Doc, has penned more than a dozen paranormal-themed books, including Related to Evil, which we talked to him about a few months ago, and Ghosts of the American Revolution. He has been featured on several national TV shows, including Travel Channel's A Haunting, Most Terrifying Places, Haunted Towns, and Haunted USA. He recently made a cameo in the documentaries The House in Between 2 and on several television programs, including Paranormal Night Shift, History's Most Haunted, and Forbidden History. He also appeared in Fright Club 1 and 2 and the Ghost Brothers and Jack Osborne on Discovery Plus. Beltrusis is a sought-after lecturer who speaks at libraries and paranormal-related events across the country. In the past, he has worked for VH1, MTV.com, Newsweek, and ABC Radio, and as a regional stringer for the New York Times. Please visit sambeltrusis.com for more information. Sam, welcome to Ghost Box Radio.
Greg, it's great to be on, and I love your post about food, actually.
I do too. You know what doesn't love the post about my food? My stomach. that's ever right. expanding. It doesn't really like it that much, but you know, what can you do, right? You only live for a short period of time. You got to have fun with it, right?
Yeah, and I started off my background is journalism, so I've done some food journalism as well. So I really enjoy checking out new restaurants mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. So I appreciate your post. And you know, in addition to watching like paranormal shows, I watch a lot of Food Network shows too.
Me too. And there's just something, I don't watch the competitions as much, but I love the shows where they're showing you how to make stuff. That's where.
Yeah. We should do like a spooky food show.
Well, if anyone's going to make it, it's going to be you, right? I mean, obviously.
Yeah. I'll definitely eat it. I'll be the person that tries all the food and also like reads the spirits at the location. Hey, I think we have a good show idea actually.
Yeah. What you do is you go in, you read the spirits, you ask them what is their favorite recipe and you make what they want.
Oh my gosh. It's like I don't know, Ghost Diner or something yeah, similar to
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So whatever you do with that, just make sure I get some kind of like, you know, helping credit on that. Cause just throw me a bone over here. Right. Before we get into it with Sam, I'd like to invite all of our listeners to join into the conversation. To do so, to ask a question to Sam Beltrusis, you can call in at 952-946-6205. That's 952-946-6205. You can email us a comment or question. The email address for the show is comment@ghostboxradio.com. We are live on AM 950 radio, but also streaming video on the following Facebook pages. You can watch us on AM 950, Things Network, and Ghostbox Radio with Greg Bakken. And please make sure that you go and like the Ghostbox Radio page. I'd really appreciate it. We post a lot of fun stuff there. And also feel free to leave comments or any questions during the show. I'm going to be monitoring all that. And if you have a question that you want to give to Sam, we can relay that to him as well. And we got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, Sam. And one of them is this little book that just came out. And it really just came out. When did Fueled by Fear come out?
So there was a bit of a hold up, but it came out June 22nd. So I finally got copies and I was able to send out all my signed author copies last week.
And the signed author copies, we might as well just talk about this right now. You can get that through sambeltrusis.com.
Yeah. So what I do is I do pre-sales, but I also go to conventions all over the country, and I have the Michigan Paracon coming up in August. So the plan is to bring a box of Fueled by Fear books and hopefully see a lot of people at the Michigan Paracon coming up in August.
Oh, that's right. You're going to be out there. I mean, I guess the question would be more, where aren't you going to be? Because I've seen you all over the place. And I don't say that as a joke. I'm very happy to see you're going all over the place. And it's been very fun as a friend to watch you kind of get all over the place. Because you know, just listening to the bio, just talking about the bio, you have so much going on that it's good that you're able to share all that wonderful information and all that wonderful, experience with everybody. So I really have to commend you on that. I was really happy to see this year kind of feels like I know that you've been doing this for a while, but it just seems like so much more this year. Am I kind of on track with that?
Yeah. So you're right. I mean, it's gotten more national. Like my goal really was to focus on New England, which has been my focus for about, you know, I would say like 8 years or so. Mm-hmm. And after doing a lot of television work, I was able to kind of expand, and I was asked to speak all over the country. And I find when I go to these these paracons and these conventions all over the country, I'm able to meet people and generally I'll like reach one person will connect with me. And I do a thing called Spirit Squad. And that's a class where I teach up and coming clairvoyants and people that are sensitive to the paranormal. And it's weird. Like every convention that I go to, I'll meet one person that ultimately joins my class. So I feel like mm-hmm. it's kind of a mission to find people all over. And so I've been doing it, and I'm very passionate about, spreading knowledge of New England. Like a lot of the stuff I really focus on is Salem and of course Lizzie Borden, my distant cousin, but also expanding beyond that to haunted hotels. I've gone to so many haunted hotels the past couple of years and talking about that at my lectures and staying at haunted hotels all over the country.
Yeah, and I have to say, about 2-3 weeks ago now, I was over at this is not a hotel, but I was over at the Sally House.
Oh my gosh!
And I know that you had recently been there, and same, I was over at McIntyre as well. I was just in that area.
I'm getting chills just talking about this because So I, in Fueled by Fear, I had a bucket list, and I call it my year of fear. And my goal really was to go to the locations that I swore I would never go to. And Sally House was number one on my list. And the reason why Sally House was on the list was not necessarily, anything I read per se, but it was from word of mouth. And people in the industry, they're like, Sam, I shouldn't name their names, but certain people that I trust in the field, they're like, there's one place that I think you shouldn't go to, and that's the Sally House. But I've also heard things about the Sally House where nothing happened. So, I went in with the idea, I'm like, I'm not going to do any research whatsoever. I went with my good friend Richard Estep, who is a wonderful author, but also he's a great investigator. And so I'm like, if I'm going to go with anybody, I'm going to go with someone that I trust. And Richard and I went, and we had other mediums there as well. I was able to go in and face my greatest fear. So Sally House was number one. The Conjuring House, I was able to go and investigate finally after all these years of living in the area. And then also Hensdale House in New York.
Oh, yep. With Daniel and everyone, yep.
Yeah.
So for the framework of the book, Fueled by Fear is not like from your entire history of investigating. This was specifically I'm going to take a significant period of time or whatever that is, and these are the places I want to go, and this is the framework for the book.
Well, so the first chapter is – so it's about facing my fear. So the first chapter is going to those three locations, but it is kind of the history, the evolution of my career. So I talk about locations that I visited back when I first started. I mean, I live in Somerville, Massachusetts, which is not necessarily known as like the most haunted location, but I've had experiences here. So sort of how it's started locally and I've kind of expanded nationally at the locations that I visit. And so, yeah, it's kind of it's a journey book for me.
Nice. So, I mean, that had to feel pretty good then to write it, because I mean, is there any like one thing that you've kind of learned from this journey as only this writing this book can tell you?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing that I learned, and so I do have a list of like sort of do's and don'ts that I learned kind of the hard way. I mean, I've had an attachment that nearly killed me. I've had all sorts of things happen to me out in the field. And I think the biggest thing that I learned this past year is not to go in afraid. And I think that what was happening is I was fueling the darker energies and they were attacking me. So I've taken this whole new approach where I'll go into a location that is haunted instead of going in like, I'm scared. And I'm going in with an armor on and knowing that I can defeat whatever is coming after me. And also I use laughter, and I learned that from Richard Estep. I mean, when we go and investigate, you know, of course you want to be respectful to the spirits. So you don't want to be disrespectful in any way, but I'll tell you, laughter is, it raises your vibration. And so I think I would say just go in with an open mind, but protect yourself and also go in without fear, because the darker energies are attracted to fear.
Now I have to ask, because I'm, you know, thinking about my experience at the Sally House, and my experience really was not a whole lot more than we spirit box is my thing. That's what I use for a lot of stuff. ITC is one of my strong points in paranormal investigating. And we turned on a custom made box for me. And my name came through, and I was like, what can I help you with? And it just, one word, crossover, which crossing over spirits is something that I do a lot of as well. And we did that, and it was very emotional and very powerful, but that was it. I did not get anything else whatsoever. What was your night like there, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, so I came in, and so Richard was actually working on a book project, and so I flew into Kansas. I did stay at the McIntyre Villa, and I actually had a wonderful experience investigating there. And the following day, we went to the Sally House. So I go in not knowing any of the history or the backstory to it whatsoever. I put it up a crystal shield of protection. So that's something that I do. It's my friend Dana she is a high priestess witch, and I do, it's kind of like my crystal shield. And I did it outside of the door, and when I walk in, I felt like there was like a, something just kind of went right on my face and started trying to suffocate me. And I know that sounds super intense, but that's exactly how I felt. So I felt under attack at the Sally house just as soon as I walked in.
Right away.
And I'm told that that's the case. I mean, it could be, and generally go after certain people. So it could be someone that's more sensitive, someone that's had an attachment, or they see like a, like I'm a beacon of light to some of spirits. So this thing was going directly for me as I walked in. I was able to sit down on the couch with Richard. He kind of calmed me down with his British accent. And so we were just kind of chilling out a little bit. He gave me some backstory of the house. And so we watched old clips from the Pickman family. And then we also just really learned about the history. But as I, like, while we were kind of getting the history, I'm like, I kept being called upstairs, and I was being called down into the basement as well. So the basement to me is super significant. And I didn't know, apparently there's stuff, I guess, etched down there, some sort of conjuring. So I do feel what's going on at the Sally house is what we call a thought form, something that's almost created, like a monster that's been created. And I think if you, whatever intentions you have going into the Sally house will be amplified. So if your intentions are to face your fears, I mean, that's exactly what happened to me. So I kept going upstairs, and I started feeling like I couldn't breathe. And Richard and I went up three times. I kept going up, and because I was being called upstairs. We were doing a Zoom video, and that's sort of the origins of the whole Sally story. So people don't really know. So Sally is a young girl who supposedly had a botched appendectomy at the location, and she has a lot of rage towards men. And so that's the story, but we don't know that Sally actually ever existed. So Sally is a created thought form that's been, I feel that's kind of taken on this really ominous kind of like manifestation that hurts people. And I've heard people being attacked, and these are the best in the paranormal field, walk in and walk out and just like, I will never go back to the Sally house.
Absolutely. So, Sam, why don't we do this? I'd like to take our first break right now. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Sam about all this wonderful stuff. We're going to switch gears a little bit, too. So join us. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And we've been talking about this now for a while, but we are less than a month away from our big event with Mr. Dave Schrader over at the Anderson House in Wabasha, Minnesota. We still have tickets available. The event itself takes place August 18th through 20th, but the hotel itself is sold out. So to be able to stay in the hotel, we would help you find accommodations. We'd give you a list of other places that are around and that are open, that are nearby, that you can get a room at and whatnot. But honestly, this is going to be a pretty amazing event. Dave Schrader has never investigated the Anderson House before. It's going to be a fantastic weekend. You're going to have a lot of access to him. He's going to do a lot of talking. We're going to investigate with him. We're actually going to record an episode of this program to play back, but you want to see him in person. If anyone who has seen him before can attest, he is an amazing, amazing auteur. He's very good at telling stories, but he's also an excellent paranormal investigator as well. So once again, that's August 18th through 20th. If you would like to get tickets or just check out what we're going to be doing that weekend, go to charvinity.com. There is a place to click on for events. You're going to see his event there. You can get tickets, or you can see the full range of what we're doing during that weekend. And it's going to be very much well worth it. Welcome back to Ghost Box Radio. And, we were talking about Dave Schrader, but we got with us Sam Beltrusis, which I am really excited about. And we've been talking about his new book, Fueled by Fear. And, you know, we've just been talking about one of the locations. And Sam, I can't tell you how great it is to have you with us today.
Yeah, and it's funny that I didn't realize that Dave Schrader was going to come on right before. But so Dave and I worked together on Curse of Lizzie Borden. So I have huge respect for him. In many ways, working with Dave kind of like changed my whole, like my journey into the paranormal. I was able to uncurse Lizzie Borden channel for the first time on television, and I trusted him enough to kind of guide me through that journey. And it turned out to be an amazing shock doc that changed my life and kind of put me on a different course. So I'm forever grateful for Dave Schrader.
You know, and I am too, actually, because watching him and Tim Dennis do Darkness Radio, and it came from the Twin Cities at KTLK, you know, all those years was like, boy, would it be great to do a nightly paranormal radio show. And so that's always, for me, had been kind of a inspiration for the work that I've been doing. They've you know, I'm hoping to do like 10% as well as they've done with their program in terms of being able to get people excited and inspired, because they did an amazing job. But it's really cool. He is a very, very nice person. But moving back to your stuff, because this is your show tonight, we're going to talk more about the book, but also I wanted to kind of touch base a little bit. You and I had been talking a little bit before the program about just general sort of shifts in this field. And it's one of my favorite topics, actually, because for those who have been in this long enough, it's been a very, for me, and I only speak for myself here, this has been a very troubling sort of shift that I've been seeing with the paranormal field. And we talked just a little bit about it, but I'd be interested to kind of, you know, let you just talk about what you're seeing and what you're thinking. And I'm curious if my thoughts are kind of in line with what you've been seeing as well.
Well, just for people who don't know my whole backstory. So I actually was a producer for many years in the 90s. I lived in New York City. When I started the paranormal, I worked as a journalist for years as well. So I had that whole backstory. So I never really wanted, my goal never really was to be on television. It was actually to produce television or produce radio shows. And so when I got into the field, I'm like, listen, I'll write books and I'll produce content, but I don't necessarily want to be like a star on TV or that sort of thing. So as I started getting, you know, more and more offers to do television work, I also I got my first opportunity to produce again for the first time. I was an associate producer on season 11 of A Haunting, and to be able to have that experience and to sort of work on the inside again as a producer, I was able to, you know, be there right before the shift. So my shift from being on television to being a producer to now, the industry, in my opinion, is in a total state of tumult. And I do feel that during COVID, you know, we were scrambling. There was a lot of issues when it came to producing content during COVID. We filmed Curse of Lizzie Borden during COVID. So having to wear face masks and create bubbles. And so I think what we're seeing is sort of the aftermath of that. A lot of the networks have shifted over to streaming platforms, and you'll see, and you can also see the emergence of YouTube channels and YouTube investigators popping up and having millions of views. And so it's kind of shifted from traditional television, like the Travel Channel, to having more impact on YouTube. And I have always been wary of the YouTube shows, and you watch and you see the headlines, it says demon caught on camera, and you watch them and there's a sort of the over the top theatrics, you know. And I will say, having worked as a producer and as talent on TV shows, there's a vetting process. So you have producers that kind of look at what's going on, and you check facts and that sort of thing. And you don't really see the vetting going on with a YouTube video. So that's a red flag for me. I would like to see some sort of vetting process for the YouTube videos. However, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to give it a shot. So my friend who was an executive producer for Ghost Hunters, Jay Blumke, reached out to me. He's like, hey, so I'm working with Colin. He does a show called Paranormal Files, which I never heard of or seen before. Can you be a guest on the show? And I'm like, okay, I'll give it a shot. And so they come out with the promo video. And this is, we filmed in Salem, and we, you know, and I've specialized in Salem for many years and gave tours in Salem. And I saw the promo and it looked like what I was, my greatest fear, which was like, you know, demon caught on camera, the Hat Man's house. And it was kind of like over the top. But it turns out like the actual episode was amazing. And so I'm a little mixed on it. I think what's happening is that they're using the demon caught on camera as clickbait. And absolutely, they're clicking on it and actually producing a good show. I'm not sure if that's the case for every YouTube video. But what I would love to see is, you know, maybe more of a like kind of like ethics when it comes to the words that are used. As someone that's been in the field for a long time, you do not use the D word unless it's the D word. Mm-hmm. And I think that they kind of use that word loosely, and that's dangerous.
We are talking with Sam Beltrusis, who just wrote the book, and it just came out, Fueled by Fear. We're talking about our thoughts on the current state of the paranormal field. What you're saying about that video, I mean, I can understand why you're, you know, it's a kind of a, which way do we go on this? Because yeah, you want to get people to watch the video, but do you want to actually make it, you don't want to oversell it, you don't want to, you know, freak people out by it, or in some ways it might even do the opposite and maybe not make people watch it. I wish there was a way, and YouTube certainly is the Wild West when it comes to paranormal, I feel personally.
It really is, and I but there are gems out there, and I will say that by being on Paranormal Files, I've gotten so many comments and so many people reaching out to me. So I found a whole new fan base from doing one video. And I've done so much television, and like I do get responses, and I do reach people from doing the television shows, but I was just surprised by how many people that I reached doing a YouTube video. Now, but it's the Wild West. So I personally would like to see, you know, more of a, I mean, having producers maybe like work with this talent to produce a show. I, you know, having looked at some of the other Paranormal Files shows, there's not the traditional, it's kind of all over the place. And I feel like that this episode specifically had a really strong narrative, and it made complete sense throughout. Now, do I agree with some of their techniques? Absolutely not. I mean, don't try to summon the Hat Man on, you know, at an investigation. But
what are you talking? We're going to do that right now, Sam. No. You know that this is what it is. Still actually called Conjuring Radio. So
yeah. And that part, I do not agree with that part, but I do. But the thing is, the entity that I'm dealing with does wear a hat. Do I think it's actually the Hat Man? I don't actually. I think it's actually a disembodied spirit that has a lot of guilt that kind of manifests as a monster. And so I came in and I'm like, do not call it the Hat Man, because it's not. It's not the Hat Man. It's an entity that wears a hat.
So going over to the comment section, Ernie Pack had wrote, YouTube investigators is a stretch. I've worked with a lot of those folks who had no clue what being a paranormal investigator really was. They're entertainers, not investigators.
That's true.
Audience is largely from the younger generation, and they put out content directed at clickbait from that audience. And Ernie, I would agree with it, but I also put out YouTube videos, and I consider myself to be an investigator. I'm not saying anything against what Ernie said, but I guess my point is, you know, that way of differentiating, because there are going to be people out there who are good investigators. But you know what's funny, Sam, in my opinion, is that the good investigators don't know how to edit video and tell a story. The ones who aren't good, and they're like the ones that Ernie's talking about, can do a really good job at all of that stuff. And that's kind of the purpose of why they're there, I would think.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like I actually agree with him on that. And if you talk to me like 2 weeks ago, I was the leader. I was very vocal about YouTube investigators. So, and I would do the air quotes, you know, investigators, because you're right. It's entertainment. Is it what we actually do in the field as legit paranormal investigators? No. But I do think that, for example, the show that I was on, I think Colin actually is a good investigator. But I also think that, you know, other people that, and I'm not going to name names, but I just think other shows that I've seen, they don't have the basics, and that's something they need to focus on, the basics, and learn from people like us, like Ernie, like myself, like you, Greg, who can help them become better investigators, because it's a responsibility, and you go in and you provoke, and that's exactly our biggest issue with certain television shows. You go in and there's a lingering effect to that, and now, you know, Am I happy with my part in that video? Absolutely. Am I not happy that they may have conjured my stalker, and, you know, and I'll go back to Salem and get attacked? I mean, that was the whole gist of the story. So no, there are ramifications for going in and conjuring something. It's just not a good idea.
No, and Ernie was saying that he's talking about the influencers, which I totally agree with, and with the gazillion followers, and, you know, we could all name certain people, certain networks who, you know, networks who are buying likes because they can't, it's all about show. It's all about how they're, you know, trying to portray themselves. And I don't know, it's interesting about trying to when you get approached to do stuff like this, you know, your own vetting process now to figure out, Is this the way I want to go? Is this how I want to, you know, is this someone I want to be associated with? And I kind of look at that the same way of, like, if we do any kind of investigating, you're going to only go into the Sally House with people like Richard, people like that, you know, and trust. And that kind of becomes the same with this new era of programming, I would think, to some extent.
Yeah. And again, like, I've been very vocal about my disdain for the influencers and the entertainment, and I will continue to be, but I will say that seeing the other side of it, it was good for me because I've been so vocal. So I think that there's potential there. I just hope that they don't cause so much damage that the potential, destroys the paranormal. I mean, I don't know what it would do per se, but what it can do is leave a lot of baggage at these locations that television shows try intensely to get into, and they, you know, like, when they find a demon at a haunted bed and breakfast, or where, like, that's gonna leave a really bad mark on that location, and also they're not gonna open their doors to the paranormal in the future. So there are there's a huge downside to going in and seeing every place has a demon.
Yeah, very much so. And I don't know, and, you know, I I'm also kind of wondering if, like, if there's any residual effect from, like, Project Fear. Now, you know, Destination Fear going from broadcast to YouTube, they're good people. I really like all of them, and they made a huge amount of money for doing the episodes. And anyone who works in television can say, yeah, it's a large amount of money, but it's actually really not when you consider the production side of it and whatnot. But, you know, I worry about other people who think that they have that same cachet as Dakota and the rest of them, to be like, well, I need people to go fund me as well to do my investigations. And I guess I don't know why I'm worried about it, because either people will or they won't. That has nothing to do with me. But it just seems like that if you're going to figure out how to do it, then you should be able to do it and raise your own funds and figure out a way to sell it then or something afterwards. That's my thought on it, at least.
Yeah. And also too, like, and having, you know, I'm a huge fan. I was a huge fan of Destination Fear. I thought what they were doing was fantastic. But Destination Fear had producers, and they had people sort of working with them. And, you know, and now they're kind of going in a different direction and kind of going rogue YouTube style. And you'll see the promo video with it, and it's a template where they have like the shocked look at the location. And I'm like, guys, like, some original thought here, you know, like, try to, right. You know, and it apparently that works for them. I don't know, but yeah, I just was hoping that with Project Fear that they would take what they did with their show and just kind of do it for YouTube. And if you actually watch the videos, that they are, but it's all about the packaging and the clickbait.
Absolutely. Let's do this. Let's take our second break here. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation, which I'm really enjoying, with Mr. Sam Beltrusis. We're going to talk more about his book and a lot of other things. Just stick around. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. Join us Monday on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken as we talk about curses and the effect it can have on a person doing the curses. We're going to have on Madame Pamita on, and we've had her on a couple years ago talking about candle magic, but I wanted to talk about curses, and I wanted to talk a little bit more about her thoughts on it and the effects it has. So that's Monday. Definitely please check us out then. And, you know, if you have questions about it too, we're always, always open for it. But we are continuing our conversation with Mr. Sam Beltrusis. We've been talking about Fueled by Fear, his newest book that you can get on Amazon. And you also go to sambeltrusis.com and make sure that you check it out. There's a lot of information about him on there, and it's a very well laid out website. So I would definitely recommend that. And we've been talking about a number of things about the paranormal and the shift there. But one thing I wanted to do, Sam, since we shared this, and I was so happy to see her in your book, Meg, who friend to both of us, dear friend to both of us.
Yeah, I'm going
to
start crying.
And I just really needed to say thank you for that. I mean, I just which I think is happening to you right now, just kind of melted me to see her. And she is so missed.
Yeah, very much so. And I wasn't expecting that.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to pull that on you, but it's just kind of the reaction I had when I was looking through the book. And it's just been, you know, like you, who's been close friends with her, and I used to spend hours on the phone with her, talking with her, and she helped me through quite a bit. That I was just you know, her death back in May had been so shocking and so unnecessary that, you know, at least I hope now that all pain has stopped and that she's in a much better place.
Yeah. And I will tell you this. So we did a thing called Spirit Squad Weekend, and we brought in some of our students. Some of our students actually are my students in Spirit Squad. And we did sort of a circle honoring Meg's life and her legacy as a gifted clairvoyant psychic medium. And, you know, she was with us. I feel strongly that she is working with us mediums and her students still, and so when I go on an investigation, I know that Meg is with me. So the tears are more tears of like just seeing her face, you know. But I also I feel that she's with all of us.
Absolutely. So I really just wanted to say how wonderful it was to see her in there, which I'm not surprised, knowing that you two had such a close relationship, but it was really nice to see her.
Yeah. So the book is dedicated to Meg.
It's so fantastic. So a couple things. We were talking about the just the kind of shift in paranormal. We're talking about a word of, you know, where things are going kind of from broadcast to YouTube. Nicole had a question that was with Discovery tossing out paranormal shows, where can people find good programming? I'm going to let you answer that in one second, but Ernie also responds back, and he was with Brandon Alves and Mustafa when they shot some episodes of Haunted Discoveries, that we finally found out that that's going to have a home on T+E network. So, you know, the promise with that is that's going to be a show that's kind of really kind of tosses paranormal programming on its head. It's like a different approach. And I'm really excited to see what that is. Do you have any idea if you talked to them at all or seen anything that they've been doing wrong?
I'm also kind of going that direction too. So it's TNE. It's a Canadian network. So it's like Discovery Plus. And they're launching a platform called, or they've already launched a platform called Haunt TV, which is going to be their streaming platform. And so the show that I filmed this past year is called History's Most Haunted. So the crew is a female-led team of investigators. And, when I never heard of them before, but I'll tell you, they were amazing. they were amazing investigators. They actually, they were investigators. They're not like actors playing investigators, which is what you see a lot on television and also on the internet. But yeah, so I'm also going in that direction myself. And have I followed Brandon and Mustafa's work? Absolutely. I think that what they're doing, it took a lot of guts to stand his ground and kind of say, this is what I want to do. And this is how I want to approach the paranormal. And I think that is what you have to do. You have to kind of vet what works for you and what doesn't work for you. And I think all of us are still figuring it out. So the biggest issue with Haunted Discoveries was finding a home for it to air. And Brandon kept talking about, we're going to launch it. But where? Cause there was nowhere to go. And she's right. Like there's like, so Discovery Plus, I turned into Max in the States. We don't really have anywhere to go as far as doing paranormal shows and even to be viewers of paranormal shows. So it is in a state of tumult right now. And I do see the light. I do think that Canada's leading the way. And I think the UK is also leading the way as well. And I'm hoping that the States kind of get their act together and we can all go to a location, have a home for paranormal television.
And, you know, I think one of the things that's a really big learning that I'm sure that anything that you do, you're going to be in this camp, but with like Brandon and Mustafa or Nick Roth when he's doing Death Walkers, they're shooting the program and they're selling it, opposed to being like commissioned and then from a network and then making it from there. And what it really sounds like is that you have these people like Brandon and Mustafa and Nick and yourself, I'm sure that it's just like, I want control. I don't want these networks to come back in and tell me what to do because it's not scary enough or this isn't right or whatever, that they want to be able, you as a creator want to maintain control, which is, I know, one reason why Project Fear went down the YouTube route, because they wanted control of their own product as well. Not unreasonable.
Yeah, even so, I said that there was a vetting process with television shows, but there was also the push for demons everywhere too. So if you think about sort of like the shows that I've been on, I've been very lucky because but I've had to fight for that. I've had to, every show that I've been on, I'm like, listen, I'm gonna, and I've walked off sets of shows that where they wanted me to say it was demonic and it wasn't. So I really feel that it's, you know, up to individuals to stand your grounds and not to say it's this when it's not. And so the networks did it too. And so you have someone like Haunted Discoveries or History's Most Haunted, where I feel like that there is a shift in the future. It's like shifting over to a different approach to paranormal investigating. The show that I worked on with the three investigators, it's the first female-led show coming out in September. It's going to also be on T&E and on Haunt TV. But their approach is different than anything I've ever. It's a kinder approach, focusing on the spirits and telling their story correctly.
So about 3 years ago now, actually four, I was this close, very close to getting a program on travel, working with a production company here in the Twin Cities that had produced the Tennessee Wraith Chasers program. They also did one of the iterations of the Ghost Brothers program. In fact, I worked on one of the Ghost Brothers episodes to secure a location for them. And then we started getting to the point of, we're going to develop a program. I was in partnership with She Who Will Not Be Named. And we were very, very close. But then it got to the point that they looked at who we were. They looked at our plot, our synopsis of what the program's going to be. And what you just said was very much the case. It wasn't scary enough. There wasn't demons in it. There wasn't. And it was just like, well, that's, you know, we talk about demons. Well, that's selling my soul then, you know, because it's like not everything is dark, you know, and I'm from the school of thought that the ability to speak with a spirit in any form should be pretty special on its own, that it doesn't need to be dark. It doesn't need to be nasty. It doesn't need to be scary, but I understand the entertainment value. And that is when the light came on for me. It's like, this is now this is what entertainment is. Unfortunately, people take it too seriously, and they use that as a kind of a measure of how they should do paranormal investigating. But Sam, I was also going to say real fast that what I hope might actually happen from this shift is that, and maybe this is blasphemy, but maybe we get less shows that are on broadcast. You know, I think that not everything needs to be a show, because I look at what's out there, and I don't think everything is warranted to be a show, in my opinion.
No, and I completely agree with you. So what was happening that we were, everybody was on television. it was like every, and there were shows all like every, you know, like that were coming out. And so the opportunities were there. However, were they all good shows? No. I mean, there was this past year, and I'm not going to name names, but there were some horrible shows. And so we have to, I think it may be a good thing as well. I think that what's happening is if the spirit realm, they want their story to be told and told correctly. And I think it's a full circle. When they keep wanting to go into this certain direction, the spirits, I don't know if they collectively work together to, you know, to alter what's going on, but I think just the collective unconscious does, the universe does. And so I think you're right. I think what's happening is it's like a natural weeding out process. And hopefully we're going to get some really great shows coming out of this.
And I had been working with a production company in Canada, sending ideas and stuff with, and the approach has been so much different, and I don't expect anything to come from it, to be very honest. And for me, the luster of that has really died down over the last year or two, because it's just like, because I think people need to stop and think, even when it comes to the YouTube videos and stuff like that, why am I doing this? What am I offering to the collective? And if it's just like, well, because I think that I would be great as a paranormal investigator on YouTube, I don't think that's good enough. You know, Brandon Mustafa threw down the gauntlet and they said, we're going to show you something that you haven't seen before. And even that alone, and even, you know, reading your book, Sam, those are different. Those take it to a different place where it's like, okay, I'm interested now. You know, I don't need to have, like, you know, just even speaking for my own show here right now, I don't necessarily need to have paranormal teams to come on my show, because you talk to one paranormal team, how is it going to be different talking to all of them? So it's about what is it that makes it unique? That's how I see it, at least.
Yeah. And for me, like every show that I've been on, there's an underlying theme. It's a history lesson. And so that's been like, I will not do it unless there's sort of history with ghosts involved in the story. And so, yeah, you got to have a purpose. It's not to be like, I want to be a star on television. You got to have a reason why you want to do this.
Totally. And I think for myself too, I backed away because I asked myself that question and I didn't think I had a unique answer to it. You know, I didn't think I had, because in my mind originally too, it's like, cause I wanted to see if I could do it. Well, that's who does that benefit? You know, it doesn't benefit anybody. So it is, you know, I don't think enough people are taking the time to kind of, you know, just really think about it. And what I also get so frustrated with, and I'm sure you see it as well, is if somebody has been on a program for like 3 minutes on something on Travel Channel, they are suddenly, you know, they are the next Zach Bagans or something. They their ego just is like, you know, just like, good for you to being on a show. I'm very happy for you, but that doesn't really make you a star. You know, I'm sorry. It just doesn't.
And exactly. So it's the full package. I mean, for me, I'm an author, and like that's like that. So I've written 16 books altogether. So when I go to a convention, I sell the fact that I'm an author. The television is just, you know, it's an add-on and it reaches more people, but I think it's important to kind of know your place in the field. And I think, you know, Greg, for you, just to kind of give you some insight, like Dave Schrader is a great role model in the sense that he's a radio guy who's also a great investigator. And I'll tell you, working with Dave, and this goes for other radio people too, you need somebody that's going to be articulate and to be able to kind of like surmise what's going on. And, you know, like with Dave, when we did Curse of Lizzie Borden, we were taken, you know, he was like taken over and, you know, and basically automatic writing. And it was a really, really intense thing, but you saw him kind of like pull back and say beautiful things. So that's a gift in itself. So that's what I think, you know, to kind of give you, I guess, a push to go on to keep doing what you're doing is a radio people are able to kind of like magically surmise what's going on.
Totally, totally. It's amazing how quickly these hours go by. For those of you who want to check it out, and I highly recommend that you do, go to sambeltruces.com, check out all of his books, go to Amazon, get fueled by fear, see what he's up to. He's everywhere, and I mean that in a good way. Sam, thank you so very much for being on with us tonight.
Greg, thank you so much for having me on, and I'd love to be on again.
Would love to have you on again. And, you know, just wanted to say, as we wrap up this week, I'd like to once again thank Sam Beltruces for joining us. Check out his site, sambeltruces.com. And also would like to thank Adam for being here tonight as well. It's always good to have him on. Please make sure to visit ghostboxradio.com to find past episodes of our radio show and like us over on Facebook at Ghostbox Radio with Greg Bakken. Also, send any comments or feedback to me over at comment@ghostboxradio.com. And don't forget to check out the best of Ghostbox Radio, airing Saturdays at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 4 p.m. on AM 950. And finally, whether you're chasing spirits or just drinking them tonight, please be careful. And we'll see you Monday as we talk about curses with Madame Pamita. Everyone have a great weekend and take care.